In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day. We do this broadcast live. We remember that the letter to the Thessalonians, the first letter, is the first letter that was written, the first part of the New Testament that was written down in Koine Greek. We're looking at the second chapter, and the second chapter goes like this. "And you know well enough, brothers, that our coming among you was not without effect." What does he mean? There were signs, there were wonders, there were miracles. But also, the people in Thessalonica began to preach the gospel. You know that your ministry is effective when other people that you minister to start doing the same thing that you do, and maybe even better. That's real. That's real. You know that your ministry is successful when other people start doing what you do and do it better. You know that. And I can name some people that the Lord used me to bless that are continuing the ministry that I started in them. The Holy Spirit started it in them. And now they're doing what I do, and even better. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful, you see, that our ministry was not without effect. Fresh from the humiliation we had suffered at Philippi, about which you know, we drew courage from our God to preach the gospel to you in the face of great opposition. So Paul says when they preached the gospel to the people in Thessalonica, they had opposition. Opposition. I'm going to tell you, when you're about to give a retreat to preach the gospel, you're going to have opposition. When you're about to do something for God, you're going to have opposition. I'm going to tell you, it's part of the baggage, I'll tell you, because the enemy does not want that to happen. He wants to discourage us. I remember many years ago, I was at the espousal retreat house, and I was about to give a retreat. I got there early so that I could pray, and that night I went to bed. It was Friday night. I was peaceful, fell asleep, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and the devil is in my room. "My Lord, what do I do?" My heart started to beat. I saw him. This was not my imagination. I saw him. Now, I could do one of two things. I could spend time being afraid of him, or I could pray, "Visit, we beseech thee, this house, and drive from it all the power of the devil." And that's what I did. And I turned my back on him. I wasn't going to be looking. There was opposition. He knew that things were going to happen because I was going to preach the gospel. He didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but he tried to kind of put something in the way. That happens. That happens. It's an attack. And that's real. That's real. You know, people that go to the abortion mill, you know, as cars drive by, they sometimes make fun of them. You know, what are they trying to do? The devil's trying to get their eyes off of Jesus and onto them. And thank God our people don't fall for those tricks of the enemy. The exhortation we deliver does not spring from deceit or impure motives or some sort of trickery. In other words, we did not preach the gospel for you and to you to get rich. We did not preach the gospel to you because we wanted to exploit you. We preached the gospel to you because we wanted you to be saved. We didn't do it out of any impure motives. We did it out of love. Rather, having met the test imposed on us by God as men entrusted with the gospel, we speak like those who strive to please God, the tester of our hearts rather than the tester of men. Yes, he does test our hearts. You know, why do we preach the gospel? You know, why am I here every day proclaiming the gospel? Because maybe one more person will fall in love with Jesus. Maybe one more person will get healed. Maybe one more person will give their life to Christ. Maybe one more person might believe that their sin is not so great that they cannot be forgiven. You know what I'm saying? In all reality, you know, what do I get from preaching? I get much satisfaction that my voice goes throughout the country. I get much satisfaction. Oh, yes, I get satisfaction. I do not do it to gain anything for myself. What am I going to gain for myself? I don't need anything. I have an automobile. It moves. I put gas in it. I have everything I need. I don't do this for myself. I do this because it has been entrusted to me by God. Therefore, I am very careful to make sure I am not building my kingdom, but the kingdom of God. It's very important that I am not building my kingdom, but the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. I cannot build the kingdom, that's for sure. But the point of the matter is, I make sure that I'm not doing this out of a motive for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? We were not guilty, as you well know, of flattering words or greed under any pretext, as God is our witness. Neither did we seek glory from men, you or any others, even though we could have insisted on our importance as apostles of Jesus Christ. In other words, we could have come in and we could have said, you know, we are the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been anointed. But he said we didn't do those things. We didn't do it out of greed or pretext. We didn't do it to seek glory from you. We did it out of obedience to God who tests our hearts. On the contrary, while we were among you, we were as gentle as nursing mothers fondling her little ones. Isn't that beautiful? In other words, we were like a mother who had a brand new baby, and the brand new baby came into existence through the preaching of the gospel, and we fed you with the milk of the gospel. We fed you with the love of God. We did not come in gangbusters saying, you've got to give us these things. We came as nursing mothers fondling her little ones. So well disposed were we to you, in fact, that we wanted to share with you not only God's tidings, but our very lives. Not only God's tidings, but our very lives. You cannot preach the gospel and just preach words. You must share your life with people. It is not only the words that I speak. Last night I was watching some evangelist, and I really got sick. I'm going to tell you, I really got sick. The woman was saying, it is so wonderful that you people have come to church today, that you woke up and you could be other places, but you came to church. And I'm saying to myself, dear Lord Jesus, give me a break. How patronizing. How, you don't say things like, it is so wonderful to see these thousands of people. They've come to church today. You're so good to come to church today. I would have said during that minute and a half, oh, the blood of Jesus was shed for each one of you. And some of you might think that you're not worthy of the blood, but that blood was shed for you so that you would be forgiven and come into the family of God. You know, I'm just telling, I had changed the channel. I just couldn't listen to this stuff. I couldn't listen to this stuff, this patronizing stuff. It just was so patronizing. It's so good of you to be here. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ stretched out his arms on the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ, true God and true man, emptied himself and became a slave, even unto death. Our Lord Jesus Christ poured out his love upon us who were undeserving of that love. Now, I'm not into so many compliments to people that, you know what, that it's like a sugar shock. You get a saccharin shock, you know, you overdose. Listen, let's just tell the truth. Let's tell the truth and let's shame the devil. Let's tell the truth about the love of God. Let's tell the truth about the blood. Let's tell the truth about the cross. I don't want to congratulate people for coming to the church today. My Lord, for what Jesus did to us, we'd be doing much more than coming to a church. We'd be pouring out our lives if we really knew what Jesus did for us. We'd be pouring out our lives. We wouldn't be living for ourselves. We'd be living exactly surrendered lives. You must recall, brothers, our efforts and our toil, how we worked day and night all the time we preached God's good gospel to you in order not to impose on you in any way. You are witnesses, as is God himself. In other words, we didn't expect anything from you. We poured out our souls to you. We poured out our lives to you. We poured out our time to you. We shared our very existence with you. And we were under such opposition, even in Thessalonica. And this opposition can be seen in Acts 17, 1 to 10. So let me look at it. Acts 17, 1 to 10, the opposition that Paul experienced in Thessalonica. Acts 17, 1 to 10. Paul and Silas took the road through Amphipolis and Apollonia and came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. Following his usual custom, Paul joined the people there and conducted discussions with them about the scriptures for three Saturdays. He explained many things, showing that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. Remember, he preached the gospel. And not only the gospel, but he gave his very self. This Jesus I am telling you about is the Messiah. Some of the Jews were convinced and threw in their lot with Paul and Silas. So too did a great number of Greeks sympathetic to Judaism and numerous prominent women. This only aroused the resentment of the Jews, however, who engaged loafers from the public square to form a mob and start a riot in the town. They marched on the house of Jason in an attempt to bring Paul and Silas before the people's assembly. We preach the gospel under much affliction. When they could not find them there, they dragged Jason himself and some of the brothers to the town magistrate, shouting, "These men have been creating a disturbance over all this place. Now they come here." And Jason was taking them in. To a man, they disregard the emperor's decrees, and they claim instead that a certain Jesus is king. In this way, they stirred up the crowd, and when the town's magistrates heard the whole story, they released Jason and the others on bail. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas off to Berea. In other words, they had to escape. They had to escape for their lives. They preached the gospel under much duress, under much opposition. Why? Because they were proclaiming Jesus Christ as King, Jesus Christ as Lord. You are witnesses, as is God himself, how upright, just, and irreproachable our conduct was toward you who are believers. You likewise know how we exhorted every one of you as a father does his children, how we encouraged and pleaded with you to make your lives worthy of God who called you to his kingship and glory. That is why we thank God constantly that in receiving his message from us, you took it, not as the word of men, but truly as it is, the word of God. We were under opposition, but you know what? When we preached the gospel, you took this as the word of God and not the word of men. In other words, you were converted. And we continue. Brothers, you have been made like the churches of God in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered the same treatment from your fellow countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and persecuted us. Displeasing to God and hostile to all mankind, they tried to keep us from preaching salvation to the Gentiles. All this time, they have been filling up their quota of sins, but the wrath has descended upon them at last. Remember that God called these Thessalonians out of idol worship to the worship of the one true God. That Paul and Silas and Timothy were like mothers nursing these people to come to believe in the word that Jesus is the Lord and that he gave his life for them. It was in opposition because the magistrates wanted to drive them out of town because they were proclaiming Jesus as king and Jesus as Messiah. And how could he be Messiah if he died upon a cross? Paul did not do this work out of vainglory or out of gain or out of what am I going to receive from it. Paul did it as an act of love. As an act of love. And the Thessalonians received the word as the word of God, not the word of men. Now I'm going to ask you, when you hear the word of God, do you know it? Do you know when someone is preaching the word of God? When you hear God's word being proclaimed, how do you respond? God's word demands a response. The response to God's word is a complete surrender to Jesus Christ. Paul was surrendered to Jesus Christ. No matter what opposition he had, he would continue to preach the gospel. He did it to the Thessalonians. He did it in Greece. He did it in Philippi. He did it in Rome. He didn't do it out of gain. He did it out of compulsion that this was his mandate and he couldn't help but do it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Not many people will understand what I'm trying to say, but there will be a few. That there is a compulsion in some people that they cannot but preach the gospel. There is a compulsion that they cannot but proclaim Jesus Christ. It's as used to say in the honeymooners, it's bigger than both of us. It's something that God puts in people. And he doesn't do it in every person, and it's not in every ordained person. Because if it was in every ordained person, ordained people would try to find ways to preach the gospel so that it would go beyond the parish that they preach. Do you know what I'm saying? If you've got a burden for the lost, and you know that people are going to hell, and that you know the way out of hell is the blood of the Lamb, and you know that Jesus Christ is Lord, you've been seized by Jesus, and you cannot help but preach the gospel. You cannot help. Even when you decide, no more, because I'm sick of depression, or I'm sick of being prophetic, and I'm sick of being made fun of, and I'm sick. You can't help but do it. You do it anyway. You do it anyway. How many times have I said, I'm not going to do it today. I'm not going to do it today. Put on a tape. And I say, but you know what? Maybe one more person would hear. Maybe one more person would come to know. Maybe one more person would feel the fire burning. And they'd say, I want to preach the gospel. We had a missionary priest with us on the weekend, and he was beautiful, a beautiful man of God. But you know what? I'm a missionary priest too. I'm a missionary. I preach Christ, and I preach him crucified, and I preach him way beyond the borders of my parish. Last night at Mass, there were 10 of us, which is quite a few people. But yesterday I preached the gospel on the radio, and someone called me from Arizona because they heard it. And someone called me from Long Meadow because they heard it. This has been my desire to preach to the whole world one at a time, one at a time. And God has given me the grace to do it via the airwaves. He has not given other people that grace, or maybe he has, and they've not taken it. So I don't take this for granted. This is God's gift, that I have the ability to tell people Jesus Christ has given his life for you. Sometimes I preach the gospel under much strain and duress. But you know what? Whether I preach it out of duress or out of joy or out of peace or out of patience, it must be preached. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. To the Jew first, and then to the Greek. Is the Lord calling you to preach the gospel? Do you feel a call from God Almighty to preach the gospel? If you are a young man or a young woman who feels that call, I will help you. I will help you. If you are a young woman, I'm going to need at least 2 women, because during these days, crazy things happen, and I'm not going to be accused of anything crazy. If you feel a call on your life to preach the gospel, I would help you. I would. I'd spend time with you. I'd disciple you so that you can do what I do and do it better. That's what Paul left in Thessalonica. That's what Paul left in Thessalonica. That he preached to them, and it was so effective that they went and preached to others. Father, I pray that you would separate men and women, young and old, to preach the word of God, which is the primary role of the Church of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would do that, and that you would do that quickly, that people would know I'm called to be a missionary, to preach the gospel. I tell you, I'll help you. I'll help you if that's what you want. Because you know what? The time is short. I thank you for listening to In Season and Out of Season. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We need to pay now our November bills. We have not started to pay November bills. So could you help us, Father Tom? Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. You can go to the World Wide Web, www.inseason.net. We have many talks and many television programs archived, www.inseason.net, www.inseason.net. And also, Jimmy the Roofer is looking for work, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. Lord, separate people for your own self to preach the word of God. Separate young men and young women who want to preach the word of God. Separate them that they would proclaim Jesus and him crucified and raised from the dead with signs that follow. Separate people, God, that would be your hands and your feet in a world that does not know you. Father, raise up men, women, and children to be missionaries, not only to this country, but Lord, I ask for the nations, that the word of God would go out and that all would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Redeemer, and Baptizer in the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.